Hi, I'm Jen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jen.
So, thank you, Andrew, for asking me to speak. It's good to be here, even on a blizzard day. I have been sober since April 4th, 2010. And throughout that whole time, I've had a sponsor and I've had some sponsees along the way. And I've always pretty much gone to meetings. And my bottom line is to try and get to 3 meetings a week at the very minimum, just try and stay connected and trying to stay in touch with other alcoholics and a higher power. If anyone is new, I am here to share my experience, strength, and hope, and not to be a spokesperson for AA or represent all of AA. We are all here to just share our experience. this microphone. So I'm just going to share a little bit about what brought me into AA, which was I had my first getting drunk when I was 15. I was on a cruise ship, and actually it was a little bit before that, but that whole trip I started drinking a lot with my family, and I just remembered enjoying the abandon, enjoying not having to be in control, kind of letting my emotions run wild and just being a mess, basically. And, you know, I'm not the kind of alcoholic where the first time I drank or got drunk that I chased that feeling. I chased that feeling in a lot of other ways, like through people, through relationships and hookups and various other things. But it's all kind of wrapped up in my alcoholism. Prior to even picking up a drink, I always felt different. And it's one of the AA pamphlets, "Do You Think You're Different?" And I haven't shared about this very much, but when I was in fourth grade, I was really just an awkward kid in some ways. I used to do like weird movements and stuff and kind of go up to kids in the mall and hug them that I didn't know, and was just like really aggressive, like overbearingly loving. And my teachers thought there was something wrong with me, so they sent me for all these psychiatric tests. And as an 8-year-old, that was very scary, and I didn't know what was wrong. And I think that kind of confirmed my sense that, you know, I was different. And even if the being different was for good reasons, it still made me not a part of. And after then, I just started getting depressed, mostly in 7th, 8th grade, high school. But I was just comparing myself to everyone else, thought I was fat, even though I was not fat in any way, was starting to have suicidal thoughts. So a lot of people in the room say taking a drink was the solution to their disease and that treats the alcoholism, and I kind of relate to that because I was trying to use alcohol and other things as a medicine without even knowing it. And of course, it started as medicine, then became, not. But I'll just quickly talk about, what brought me in here. I went to school here in New York. I drank a lot, out with friends, going to bars and stuff like that. And got myself into some dangerous situations. One that sounds funny, but it's not funny, was I was lost in the middle of East Williamsburg and 4 or 5 in the morning, and a bunch of older guys were in this bodega, and they were we'll drive you back to Manhattan. And it was like really sketchy, but at the time I thought it was hilarious and like such a good story and like funny. Like every time I was kind of in a dangerous or risky situation, I was like, I'm gaining life experience. And I looked to that to like build my self-esteem, rather than like doing esteemable acts as they tell us in here, which when I learned that's how you build self-esteem, it was like, what? Because I just really thought like I didn't get the book to life that you all had, and I was doomed, so I might as well just try through these other ways. And you know, eventually I tried to cut down on my drinking because as I was not feeling any better, obviously, doing it. And, you know, making some stupid decisions. I was, like, lucky in some ways that I barely got through college. I don't know how. I wanted to drop out every single day. Like, literally every day I would be like, I'm going to drop out today. Because I was just such a mess. And I somehow made it through. And at around that time, I realized that my mom was an alcoholic. And I can say she's an alcoholic because she also qualifies herself as that. And I really saw the disease progressed in her to the point where she was like physically dependent on alcohol, yada yada. So I made this decision, like, at first I was like, oh well, I'm just gonna keep drinking. But then suddenly I had this like moment at my college graduation where they had champagne at the school, and I was like, I probably shouldn't drink because it's my graduation day and like I won't be present and not get messed up. And already that's like showing something's not right, because like a normal person would be like, yeah, let's have a toast, celebratory. Like, it's not like an existential crisis for them where they think they're going to like get really plastered. Oh my God. Like, I just couldn't, I didn't have a choice. So what ended up happening was I was like, well, I'll be fine. You know, that story we all tell ourselves that we're going to drink like normal people and wise up or whatever. So I was just clutching this glass, and of course I think I drank the whole thing, but I tried to limit them myself, and I was just super anxious. And, you know, they talk about in the Big Book, like when we drink and then stop, and when we're without drinking, we're restless, irritable, and discontent. And I was definitely like that, where, I was just that feeling of, like, uncomfortable in my skin. And after that, I was like, wow, something's wrong with the way I drink. I didn't even think that, but I just was like, I'm going to, you know, cut back. And I, like, pushed all my friends out of my life because I was like, yeah, you guys drink, and, like, my mom's an alcoholic, so I can't be around you. And they were like, what is your problem? And, you know, of course I lost a lot of those friends, which sucked, but anyway, I would have these, like, times where I would go out and drink, and bad things would happen again. I'm going to wrap up the drunk log, but basically, that continued to happen, and just one night that was, you know, average like that, where I was gulping down the drinks, taking them out of my friends' hands, etc. Got home at like 4 in the morning, and I had no intentions of drinking that night, but I went to this place and there was an open bar. And I was like, they talk about like the mental blank spot in our literature. And there's just this thing that at certain times as an alcoholic, I cannot bring into sufficient force the memory of how I drink. And I will believe that it's going to be different this time, and I can drink like a normal person and control it. And that is a phenomenon that does not happen to normal drinkers. That's something I learned in this program. And if I've ever had that phenomenon, I belong here. So that's what brought me into AA. I knew a lot of people in AA, and I reluctantly stayed. I was not happy to be here for a while because, again, I had a lot of judgment about people who were alcoholics, and a lot of shame. and a lot of anger that came out when I stopped drinking. But I tried, you know, and that's all that we're asked to do here is just to show up and do our best. We're not asked to be perfect at all. We're human. So, you know, I tried my best. I did the steps, had a lot of service commitments always. This has been my home group for my entire sobriety. I've always had a service commitment here, even if it's something minor, like cleaning the toilet or whatever. And honestly, if you don't have a service commitment, I really suggest getting one, because that always kept me to come, and still to this day keeps me coming when I don't want to go to a meeting. I still have, in some ways, an alcoholic mind, and not really as much around drinking, although sometimes that happens, but in the sense of the selfishness, fear, dishonesty, and, you know, if you're new, basically part of what we do in the steps is working on ourselves to be like better individuals, I guess, because the drink is just a symptom. So they say, like, we had to get to causes and conditions, which is our character defects and like a lot of the reasons why we drink. So I remember this like old timer when one of my first home group type meetings, where she was like, we must change. I don't know why it always sticks in my mind, but even with like almost 7 years sober, that's what it's still about, is like, we must change. And that's how we stay here. And my experience is that it can be incremental changes. You know, it does not have to be like radical sweeping. I mean, it's nice when that happens and we're just rocketed into the fourth dimension and like, yeah. But my experience is that I am human and I struggle. And I've gone through a lot in sobriety as well. I lost my dad after my first year, which was really, really tough. I got really sad and depressed. And a lot of people in the rooms definitely carried me through. Like, I called my sponsor immediately after he passed. You know, people were really there for me. And I also knew that I had done everything to sweep up my side of the street. And that was such a relief that I could say I'd shown up for him, and he knew I was sober. And he also knew my mom was sober at that point, which was a gift. And yeah, so even I think part of like sobriety is, my sponsor always talks about like matching calamity with serenity, which is a phrase from our literature. And I always kind of roll my eyes because I'm like, she always says it when I'm calling her with like a big problem or like, you know, something bad is going on in my life or in the world and I'm afraid there's going to be an apocalypse or whatever. And she'll be like, yeah, like things might be messed up, but this is what we try and do. And I think, again, it's like we try and do it. These are all like spiritual ideals. So only my higher power is perfect. In the sense of, like, for me, I don't know what it is, but just a sense of love, of kind of infinite forgiveness and love and inspiration that I think somehow is within all of us, but also within the world. And it's sort of like tapping into that. I heard a friend of mine also once say, you have to plug in, like if you are a computer or a phone, and you need to charge yourself in order to function. So if your phone is on like 5% battery, you're not going to be very healthy with your phone. Like your phone's going to go out of service. But it's, I know it's cheesy, but it's like the same with, you know, prayer and meditation for me. That's like the spiritual need to kind of get quiet and connected, because I really can be like that whirling tornado of only defects of character and harming others if I don't kind of tap into that love and forgiveness. You know, forgiveness for myself as well, forgiveness for others. It also, not just through prayer and meditation, but using the rest of the steps, has helped me to heal some of my relationships as well. And I have to say, though, like, I know, whatever, I might be sounding, like, so good right now, but, like, in real life, this is, like, not easy stuff sometimes. Like, I've made amends to people and at the time felt like, wow, my resentment is totally lifted. And, you know, I see them as this child of God, and, like, then they do something, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And, or I just have that feeling, you know? So I think, like, it's really about maintenance. And that's why we, like, keep doing the same things. And I have to say, like, with almost 7 years or whatever I have, it's not easy as it was in my first year. Like, the willingness can be hard to bear because my disease will tell me, like, you're doing so well, you're going to be getting married soon, and you have, you know, people look up to you and blah, 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 and just the ego of, like, whatever is kicking in. Or it'll just tell me, like, don't even look at yourself because it's terrible. That is equally destructive. So I think every moment is an opportunity to just, like, renew that willingness. And, like, just today I had a moment where I was not very nice to my partner, and I was like, we were getting ready to leave the house, and I was like, I need to go pray. And I just say, like, God, help me start my day over, because I can get out of touch very, very easily. I think there's just so much I could say. One thing that's been really great about coming to this meeting and being in young people's AA, this just came to mind, is, like, seeing people grow up, seeing people get sober and stay sober. And, like, a lot of people in this room or in this group, like, he's not here, but, like, Will, I remember when he was, like, 18, and I think he had turned 24 the other day. Like, it's just crazy to see people actually grow up, and to get to witness that and be a part of that. And a lot of times, like, things in my life or in the world, especially just lately, I've been having moments where I'm like, man, there's a lot of negativity, I feel like, around me or in the world, and a lot of hatred, and, like, where do I find my faith? And just coming to meeting and hearing other people have faith has always been one way I get back there. And it's sometimes, like, fake it till you make it, like, just showing up and sitting in the seat. And I don't leave every single meeting, like, feeling on cloud nine, but sometimes it's not about how I feel. It's just about taking the action. And eventually the results do come, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. I want to say. I think I'm actually done, so thank you very much.